In the matter of the opinion number 735 of the Supreme Court Advisory Committee on Professional Ethics, may we please have appearances of counsel?
Good morning, Justice Rabiner, Bonnie Frost of Einhorn, Barbarito, Frost, and Botwinick on behalf of the New Jersey State Bar Association.
Good morning, Chief Justice and Associate Justices Andrew J. Savasco, Archer and Griner, PC, on behalf of the Bergen County Bar Association.
Good morning, Donna Ahrens, Assistant Attorney General, on behalf of the Advisory Committee on Professional Ethics.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice and Associate Justices. My name is Ryan Gaffney of the firm Chasen Lamparello, Mallon & Capuzzo, and I represent the New Jersey Defense Association.
Good morning. Shalom Stone, Stone Conroy, representing the New Jersey Civil Justice Institute.
Thank you. Welcome, counsel. Ms. Frost, please go ahead.
May it please the court. The state bar is asking this court to stay the holding of the advisory committee opinion 735, and we're asking that your honors engage in a broad investigation, discussion, debate about the conclusions drawn by the committee in that opinion. The advertising practice in question is different than any this court has ever considered because of the rapid changes in technology. And therefore, we believe that the discussion and debate of various advertising possibilities would assure the public that this court holds lawyers to a high ethical standard and protects consumers. Buying and using another lawyer's name and reputation in a search qualifies as misleading under RPC 7.1. Buying and using another lawyer's name, not your own, to deliberately entice someone to one's own website is deceitful and surely is a misrepresentation under RPC 8.4C. And I would argue that to buy and use someone else's name as your own is the epitome of flagrant dishonesty, which is necessary for the court to find a violation of RPC 8.4C. A lawyer's reputation is their stock and trade, which has been built up over years of hard work. This reputation is embodied in the lawyer's name, and a lawyer's name has value. And then to have someone come along, buy and use that name and reputation for their own profit is dishonest, and the practice is deceitful under RPC 8.4C. The state bar believes that the assumptions which led the committee's conclusion are flawed. First, the committee says, because there is growing sophistication of the target audience, buying and using a competitor's name as a keyword is not dishonest and therefore does not violate RPC 8.4C. Consumers of legal services are everyone, not just a growing number of sophisticated searchers. The RPCs are designed to protect the public, as your honors have said in In re Wilson. Thus, the state bar believes that this assumption is incorrect and certainly does not protect the less sophisticated consumer who has been surreptitiously targeted and redirected to a lawyer's site that they did not want. In fact, the opposite, the lawyer who's purchased another lawyer's name is deliberately targeting the unsophisticated in hopes that once they click on the other lawyer's name, the user will stay on his site and retain him. The lawyer who engages in this practice is intentionally preying on the less sophisticated user. And those less sophisticated users are the ones we should strive to protect. Next, the committee presumes that the keyword purchaser's law firm and the competitor's law firm name will appear in any resulting search. The state bar disagrees. Ads are placed before organic sites occur in the search. And therefore, ads create a barrier to the access of the consumer. It cannot be assumed that both the organic search and the sponsored site will appear. The committee also assumes that because a keyword will have the word ad near it, users will be able to ignore the deceptive ad and look further for the organic search of the lawyer they wish to find. The state bar disagrees. The committee adopted the reasoning of the Texas Professional Ethics Committee, and where that committee said it was highly unlikely that a reasonable person using internet searches would be misled and to thinking every search result indicates that a lawyer shown in the list of search results has some relationship with a lawyer whose name is in the search. The State Bar would argue that the opposite conclusion should be drawn. A reasonable person expects to get to the lawyer's site whose name they wanted and clicked on, not someone else's. And finally, why is it necessary to even discuss this practice? Unfortunately, it's because this deceptive practice works. The keyword in and of itself constitutes false advertising and is misleading because it's not the lawyer's name of the site where the unsuspecting client is being diverted. The purchase attorney is consciously interfering with and manipulating a consumer's choice, and he's consciously using someone else's name for his own financial benefit, unbeknownst to the other lawyer. It is the State Bar's position that this behavior violates RPC 7.1 as well as 8.4C, and asks that this court convene either a committee or remand for further consideration of the points raised by not only the State Bar, but amici.
Does that complete your opening statement, Ms. Frost?
Yes, it does. Thank you, Your Honor.
Help us on the question of what's misleading about it, something that is labeled an advertisement.
Well, I think what is misleading is the fact that not everyone, and I am one of them, always reads over, always discerns what the word ad, that an ad is there. We have provided in our brief a study that shows that people who are older, over 60, it was the study, that those people are having difficulty and are confused with the deceptive advertising and just the word ad. But if you look at the ad, which was one of the exhibits to our brief, you will see that the word ad is small font, and is not really distinguishable in the search. Depending on what the search engine is, it's not readily available. It's not readily seen that it is in fact an ad.
May I follow up?
Surely. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
I understand your point about the small circle that says ad that could potentially lead to confusion. Is perhaps part of the solution that the text or someplace state in clear, big letters, this is an advertisement? Would that address the concern that this is misleading?
It may. However, I would go back to my point, Your Honor, about the fact that someone else, and I think this is really the most important point of the argument that we're dealing with today, is using someone else's name to gain an economic advantage. Most of us expect that when they go to a website and they click on somebody's name, that's where they're going to result in being. But I think the deceptiveness and the ability to think that someone is deliberately paying a search engine to use someone else's name certainly is a dishonest act, and it should not be sanctioned by the Supreme Court.
One more question about potential misleading here. There's a difference of views among the parties as to whether it is or is not misleading. What should the court look to in order to try to resolve that? Is there authoritative source material out there that would help us decide between the two sides?
Well, Your Honor, certainly we're not in the age of Encyclopedia Britannica any longer, but the authoritative sites, I would assert, would be investigations that are being done by various IT journals. And it's going to be a different type of search to find out the accurate information. But certainly there are studies about who are the users of the internet, who are the users of the AdWords, because people, search engines such as Google want to know that, because the more someone clicks on an ad, the more money they earn. So they are very interested in finding out the exact research about who does click on what. And I wish I could be more persuasive about that point, but maybe one of the amici will help me on that regard.
I want to raise a different concern. I'm not certain that it's real concern based upon the lack of really a full factual record here. When someone does an internet search, a Google search of an attorney, not only will the attorney's name show up, but various other things about the attorney. It could be verdicts and all sorts of other things linked to the attorney's reputation events. If someone is able to purchase the attorney's name and put an advertisement, or attorneys do that, is it pushing down on the front page the information about the attorney that the consumer searched? And if that is the case, is that not disadvantaging the attorneys whose name is being, I'll use this term, misappropriated by the attorneys doing the search? So, wrong with
Your Honor, you are correct, because you will see, depending on the algorithms of any one day of the search engine, you could have one ad, two ads, six or seven ads above the organic search. So therefore it gets pushed down on the page. And so it's very possible that the organic search doesn't even show up on the first page if you look at it on a computer screen, and will be pushed to a second page. And so that they may never reach that really organic search, because if there's a big bidding.
Well, assume that the attorney using search, his name is first, but for the fact that other people are purchasing space on his page, everything else about him is getting pushed down. So he's getting less playtime with the consumer who's looking up his name. Are you following me?
Yes, I am. Except I do believe, Your Honor, that ads go first. So it's always the ad that's going to be first, and that's always going to push it down.
So my other question to you is this: if someone can purchase an attorney's name, can an attorney pay to make certain that someone cannot appear on his or her page?
Yes.
Is there going to be a bidding war once this becomes in fashion? Go ahead.
Yes. The answer is absolutely yes. And in fact, it would probably, if this is deemed to be acceptable, it would be appropriate for other people to make sure they purchased their name, any combinations of their name, so other people cannot purchase them. Absolutely.
Just to be clear, we're talking about the search results page. We're not talking about the attorney's page, correct?
We are talking about the first search result page. Yes.
You're saying that the attorney can pay so much money that they can knock the the attorney completely out of the search that's for that attorney?
Yes. And I didn't understand this myself, Your Honor, until several years ago when a younger partner started talking about a thing in our partners meeting about Google AdWords. I had no idea what they meant, because I didn't even think about the fact that there were ads on the internet. But I know we're supposed to not talk about personal anecdotes, but since I am someone over 60, it goes to show that not everyone...
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's just not everyone's is that sophisticated and understands what's going on with this practice that's happening, that people are engaging in.
But my question is not about the general. I'm talking about the very specific. I had understood that no matter how many 2, 3, 4 ads appear, the website of the attorney, the organic result of the search, would be on the page. It would not be forced into a second page. Is that just wrong?
I think it could be wrong, Your Honor, because number one, not only are we talking about you're talking about what type of device you're looking on. Because if you're looking on a computer screen, it may still be on the first page. But if you're talking about cell phones, for example, which if any of you have children or grandchildren, you'll know that everybody's searching on cell phones now. So what is the screen that they're looking at? It's very, very small. So in that sense, the organic site's not going to appear on the first page on the cell phone screen. It could be on page 4 because of all of the ads. So that's another problem.
Are we looking at a scenario where there'll be like an auction to see how close an attorney can get next to Clarence Darrow's name?
Yes. Yes. I think that's possible, Judge. Mm-hmm.
Other questions? Anything you'd like to add, Ms. Frost?
No, thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Savasco.
Good morning, Your Honor. I would like to just supplement what Ms. Frost says. For the most part, the Bergen County Bar Association supports the state bar's position. But I would just like to reiterate or reinforce that it is very clear that the sole intent of buying a competitor's name is misdirection. It's like three-card Monty. You want to find Clarence Darrow? Well, you put his search name in and you'll find Joe Smith in Manalapan. And I think that's the thing that this court should be focusing on, because the role of the RPCs is to govern attorney conduct. It's not to govern the conduct of Google, for example. I don't think this court's going to be able to require Google to make a larger designation of an advertisement. The Attorney General argues that because of the growing sophistication of the public, that they don't need protection. And we agree 100% with the state bar's position. The purpose of the RPCs is to protect the people who are unsophisticated, the people who are going to be taken advantage of. If you look at all of our RPCs, they all have that in mind. You look at the rules of professionalism. This is Professionalism Month. The goal here is to protect the public, because there are members of the public who are not sophisticated in dealing with attorneys. Hiring an attorney is not the same thing as going on the internet and looking for a used car. Hiring an attorney and trying to locate a particular attorney with a particular reputation is not the same thing as looking for a trademarked article and subject to trademark protections. This is about regulating the profession of attorneys. Frankly, I would say it this way: the onus is not on the public to figure out whether they've been misled or to avoid another internet scam. The onus is on the profession not to perpetrate the fraud in the first place. Also, I would like to reiterate the fact that allowing the use of a competitor's name as a keyword impedes the free flow of information. It does not assist the public in finding what they're looking for. If someone's putting a name into a specific attorney's name into an internet search, it's because that person's been recommended to them. They've heard about that person from another source. They've read an article in the paper that person handled a case just like their case or got a wonderful verdict. Whatever the reason is, they're looking for that attorney. If in looking for that attorney, they've got to scroll through perhaps dozens of advertisements, depending on how well known the attorney is, to find the website of that attorney, that's impeding their search. That's misdirecting them. That's misleading them. It's dishonest. It's deceitful. It's intended to deceive. The other thing I would like to point out, and this wasn't in our brief because it came up after our briefs were submitted, names are important. As the state bar says, attorneys spend years developing reputations, and clients rely on that. Clients will rely on a reputation of an attorney in deciding whether to hire them or not. This court in September took a look at RPC 7.5 regarding trade names. And it liberalized the use of trade names and said, look, there are certain circumstances where trade names are okay. However, this court was very specific that a firm that's using a trade name could not use the name of an attorney who is not affiliated with them, unless that person had been affiliated and had died or retired. So this court has recognized that names are important. And 7.5-
Mr. Cavasco, how can the court empirically make a determination on the whether consumers are being misled? And I say that because, having had a little bit of experience in my practice with consumer surveys, you can take two consumer surveys on exactly the same ad copy and get wildly disparate results. It's not an area marketing analysis that is, where everybody agrees on the accuracy. So how can the court make a determination that this is a misleading practice without doing surveys or having the benefit of surveys, which don't seem to exist in any great numbers on this topic?
Your Honor, I would suggest that you are 100% correct. This court cannot do that at this point in time. And as a matter of fact, I don't know if this court will ever be able to do that because this medium continues to change. If we had a wonderfully accurate survey at this very instant that could convince all of you that in fact people were being misled, in a year that might change because sophistication levels change, Google's tactics change, advertising tactics change. I don't think this court is ever going to be able to empirically satisfy itself that X percentage of the population is being misled. And that's why I think that this court has to err on the side of caution. I don't think that the focus here should be on trying to empirically determine whether or not someone has been misled. The focus has to be on the attorney conduct here. And I think if you look at the attorney conduct, it could not be clearer. There is no reason to pay for a Google AdWord that includes the name of my competitor unless I want the public to think that I am somehow affiliated with that person or to be fooled into thinking that when they click on my ad, they're clicking on that attorney's ad. That is the only reason that you would do that. There are plenty of descriptive words to describe estate planning, estate administration, commercial litigation, personal injury lawsuits, Bergen County, Middlesex County, Mercer County, whatever kind of descriptive word is available out there can be purchased and can be used for search purposes legitimately. But to pay money and apparently pay good money to use the name of your competitor for a search term there's only one purpose for that, and that's to mislead people. And I think that's what this court should focus on, and that's the conduct that the court can control. The court can't control how Google's going to place these ads. The court can't say, well, Google has to put the organic search in the top three searches that show up. That's never going to happen.
Is your point referencing our change to the trade name provision suggesting that this is a violation of that new rule?
No, Your Honor, I don't think it's a violation, but it's an indication of this court's recognition of the importance of names. It's really by analogy only.
By incorporating the name in the search, it is appropriating an attorney who's not involved in yours, to use an example, practice.
Exactly right, Your Honor. That's exactly the point. So that really is the end of my comments. Again, I think the onus is not on the public here. The onus is on the profession. And this court, the job of this court is to regulate the profession to be sure that the profession does not engage in activity that's fraudulent, dishonest, and frankly, borderline fraud. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tfasco. Mr. Gaffney.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. There was some discussion earlier about the Texas Bar's view on this issue. As a former resident and a Bayant member of the Texas Bar, I am familiar with the wide latitude afforded to a Texas attorney advertising. Relative to those standards, New Jersey's system does an excellent job of promoting public confidence in the profession. The New Jersey Defense Association submits that the purchase of certain internet keyword advertisements does harm to that public confidence and is a violation of RPC 7.1. As was discussed earlier, that RPC prohibits attorney advertisements with misleading statements or omissions that lead to material misrepresentations. It is our view that the purchase of an internet keyword advertisement is a communication, and that is because it is inextricably linked to the advertisement. So the purchase itself is still part of the communication. In other words, this type of advertisement would not exist but for the purchase of the keyword, and an attorney would have no reason to purchase a keyword unless it was attached to an advertisement. And so the resulting advertisement in whatever form it is generated must comply with 7.1. And unless it is clearly and unequivocally labeled as an advertisement, that is an omission that is a material representation, a misrepresentation in our view. You know, we're all aware of the short shelf life of a lot of internet companies and platforms. And there's no way to impose a rule or standard that will apply to everything. However, I just want to touch briefly on the variety of platforms that are implicated in this issue. The briefs primarily discuss the use of Google AdWords, and that is by far the most utilized platform for this type of advertisement. However, it is not the only platform at all. Twitter, Facebook, Yelp, which is a business review service, all incorporate advertisements into their platform and all utilize keyword purchases to some extent in generating those advertisements. Google is also itself not limited to internet searches. There are a variety of other platforms within the Google system. Gmail, for example, their email service, uses the content of emails coming and going from one's account in order to generate advertisements as well. And so, you know, in our view, the purchase of an advertisement has to be clearly labeled, and any regulation would therefore be subject to the central Hudson test, which is discussed in our brief. The primary point there is whether or not there are free speech implications is whether or not the advertisement is misleading. And that misleading standard in Central Hudson is distinguishable from RPC 7.1. In fact, the Supreme Court there described that first element of the Central Hudson test as more likely to deceive the public than to inform it. And Your Honors, that standard, I think, is the most important analysis that needs to be made here, because there is insufficient facts on this record to determine whether or not the types of advertisements that are affected by keyword purchases are more likely to deceive the public than not. The State Bar's brief offered a pretty clear example of a label of an advertisement that might be unclear, but as again was discussed briefly earlier, the platform or the device that's used for the advertisement can affect the clarity with which something is labeled as an advertisement. There are a number of complex issues that go into that. And again, the NJDA's view is that additional factual support a more of a factual record is required for proper regulation of this issue. There are a lot of examples of borderline cases that implicate this issue as well. If anybody's used Amazon for a purchase, there is a portion of an Amazon page that will describe other items that you search for an item. Here are other items that people searched for when they searched for this item. That sort of process is available in Google, and it's not a stretch to imagine that some other types of platforms will create and then monetize that device. I don't know personally if Amazon monetizes that, but presumably if you search for, you know, one type of book and it says, oh, here's the sequel, people also search for the sequel. As I said, it's not unavoidable that some type of platform could use that and monetize it. And so there are, as I said before, a variety of implications to any regulation on this issue that go beyond a search and that, in our view, requires an additional factual record to make these determinations. Mr. Chief Justice, I couldn't hear you.
I said thank you. I thought you had reached the end of your argument.
One final note, Your Honors, that Mr. Savasco had noted before about the implication of trade names and the court's recent ruling on that. And I would like to note additionally that the complexity of searches in Google and other internet search platforms is something that adds to the complexity of this issue that requires an additional factual foundation. One of the only things that was addressed in opinion 735 was the purchase of another attorney's name. However, with the liberalization of or permission of the use of trade names, that implicates whether or not a trade name may be purchased and how general that trade name would have to be before it would be permissible or impermissible to utilize that in an internet keyword purchase. Law HQ, for example, would it be permissible to purchase the keyword law headquarters if the name was Law HQ? Again, Your Honor, these are just the types of issues that are presented by the opinion 735 that, in our view, require additional factual support.
Or a law firm that was named Somersworth County Personal Injury Attorneys.
Correct, Your Honor. And anything like that.
A law firm, but that's also a general descriptive term, no?
Correct, Your Honor. And again, those types of issues are not addressed by opinion 735. However, the resulting ruling or anything adopted by the court would implicate all of these issues.
Thank you, counsel.
Thanks, Aaron.
Good morning. May it please the court. As the Committee on Professional Ethics found, the issue presented here involves the propriety of a type of internet advertising using a search engine that could result in the placement of an ad in the search results when a user enters the name of a competing attorney. There was nothing in the inquiry to suggest that the ad itself would be misleading or that the language of the ad would suggest any sort of relationship between the competing attorneys. The issue centered on how the ad would show up when a user enters the name of the competing attorney as part of a search. Analyzing those facts, the committee found that a practice that facilitates the placement of an advertisement, but nothing more, did not violate the rules of professional conduct, and specifically did not violate the rule prohibiting attorney misconduct. As anyone who uses the internet knows, virtually any search will turn up a mix of results, including ads. That is the nature of the internet. So in and of itself, having an ad appear when the user is searching for something by name is common and expected. And the fact is, and in fact, is often a benefit for users who may want to compare different options. The State Bar and the Bergen Bar raise an important concern that this advertising technique could mislead consumers and cause them to retain a different law firm than the one they thought they were retaining. But there was nothing in the hypothetical that suggested that the advertising law firm would be obscuring its own identity. And having examined that issue, the committee believed that the current rules of professional conduct and opinions interpreting them provide adequate protection against deceitful or misleading conduct. In that vein, I would point out that the Committee on Attorney Advertising in its opinion number 32 talks about whether a domain name for a law firm, which is the thing you click on, the domain or the URL, whether that has to be the name of the law firm or if it could be some other descriptive term. And the committee found that it could be a different term, but if it was not the name of the law firm, then the link must take you to a web page that clearly identifies the law firm and its physical address. In short, the committee concluded that the mere process of displaying the ad would not create any false impressions about the respective lawyers' relationships or associations, and that such a practice should not subject attorneys to discipline under the rules of professional conduct. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Ms. Ahrens, just looking at the ACPE's opinion, it seems to acknowledge that there's information we don't know. I'm looking at page 3 of the opinion, where it says the websites of the keyword purchases law firm and the competitors law firm will presumably both appear in the resulting search. And so presumably indicates lack of certainty. And the next sentence says the keyword purchases website ordinarily will appear as a paid or sponsored website. And that also suggests that there's lack of certainty on that matter. So given the lack of certainty, why wouldn't this court benefit by a fuller record than the one that was before the committee when it rendered its opinion?
I think, you know, obviously if the court wants to send it for a fuller record, I'm just not sure you're ever going to get a final decision on that. I mean, a final, I can tell you right now, according to Google, for example, they say that their ads will always be labeled as ads. But of course, you know, attorneys don't have control over how the different search engines label things. I think the committee was concerned mainly with the idea of whether a user would be misled into believing that they were actually engaging a different law firm. The committee felt that having an ad appear and perhaps diverting a consumer to a different law firm than the one they originally searched for was not an unfair or deceptive or misleading practice and didn't amount to attorney misconduct.
Assume that it's not misleading. Let's put that aside for a second. To the extent that a person can purchase space on another given using a keyword on another attorney's page where the attorney's law firm would be there and other information, maybe a Wikipedia page, maybe verdicts, to the extent that someone can actually push down other information about the attorney searched, is that not disadvantaging the attorney whose name has been misappropriated? And wouldn't that conceivably be an RPC violation? Go ahead.
So the issue that the committee was looking at was a search engine. And I do want to just point out that, you know, essentially a Google search turns up free ads for many, many entities. I mean, you don't pay to have an organic search result. It's you make your website available to Google and they include it in their, you know, millions and probably billions of websites that they search. Nobody has a right to a particular search result on any of the search engines. This is a service that Google provides or a business that Google has where they categorize and you know catalog all these different websites and produce searches in an effort to make money and to direct you know content to users that but they think will be relevant.
This is not a question of what Google does. This is a question of the Supreme Court's responsibility to superintend the practice of law. And the question is if purchasing another attorney's name will disadvantage the attorney's name who is being used because on Google or on some other site, that person's name is getting further down the list. Would that not be of concern to us?
I mean, you know, obviously that's the issue here is whether that is of concern to you and to what degree. I mean, the committee's position was that it, first of all, it's not necessarily clear that it would push the organic search down. I mean, it's not just price that determines placement on a search page, but
we don't know. That's one of the reasons why some people are calling for a fuller record either before the ACPE or some other committee. And what would be wrong with that?
Right. Well, because I mean, you can certainly do that. I mean, obviously, you know, the committee exists to advise the court. I can tell you though that Google, the algorithm that Google uses will change. I mean, you could do the same search, you know, 10 times and you could get very different results. They do an instant auction every time a search is entered. It's you know, they do millions of them every second.
And so I'm not sure you're going to get an answer of what, how they're going to be ordered every time, because it's just not, you almost have to assume that there will be times when the organic search result will be lower than the ad. There may be times when it will be above the ad. I'm not sure if your decision, you know, you're going to be able to make a decision if that's what it's going to turn on. But the committee's position was that, you know, as long as it's clear that the website that the person goes to is identified with the law firm that, you know, of the advertising attorney, and it was clear who that user is now and what, you know, what web domain they are now going into, that it wasn't misleading, it wasn't deceptive, and it was simply giving the user another choice of a different law firm to explore in terms of, you know, whatever their criteria are for selecting a law firm. So, you know, I mean, but the reason I had answered the way I started before was just to kind of clarify that we're not talking about like the attorney's webpage. Nobody's saying that, you know, if a law firm has an actual webpage that, you know, like Donna Aaron's, you know, attorney at law, and I have like all my things, you know, my accomplishments or whatever on it, no one's saying that that would be where the ad is going to appear. It's just appearing in the search results.
Can I ask you an operational question, Ms. Aarons, because I am completely unsophisticated. If I purchase Justice Albin's name and I have an ad and it says Justice Albin ad.
You can't afford it.
And I know. I didn't say I was going to. I said if. And somebody clicks on the Justice Albin ad, are they going to go to me? In other words, a lawyer purchases another lawyer's name or trade name. It's an advertisement. They pay the most they can. It's at the top of the search. And somebody sees the name of the lawyer they want or the trade name they want. But it says ad. I'm unsophisticated. I click on it. Where am I going? Am I going to me? Or am I going to Justice Allen? I'm going to
okay. Think. That's a really good question. Because that's a misconception that I want to clear up. We're talking about the name you enter into the search engine. So you get that big Google box and it says search or whatever, and you put a name in. The search results, if it showed up as, so to use your example, if the ad that Justice Solomon placed said Justice Albin, such that a person clicking on it would think they're going to Justice Albin's webpage, but they actually end up at Justice Solomon's webpage, I would think that would violate the rules of professional conduct. That
is
would
that
be
how it works, though? Is that how
no,
it works?
No, that's not what it, how it works.
See, I don't know
how it works is that you say that if somebody enters Justice Albin's name as a keyword, an ad for Justice Solomon's page will show up and it will say Justice Solomon ad. And so if somebody says, oh, I was looking for Justice Albin, but I'm also curious about Justice Solomon, they can click on Justice Solomon's page and look at that and it would lead to your page, but it wouldn't say Justice Albin. If it said Justice Albin, I think that is definitely a violation of the rules of professional.
So purchasing his name and having an ad appear doesn't mean there's an ad that says Justice Albin.
Correct.
It's an ad that says Justice Solomon.
Correct. Yes. Yes. If it said Justice Albin, that would be, that's exactly what we don't want to happen. That's why we have, you know, RPC 7.1 that says that you have to be, you know, it can't have a, you know, can't be misleading in any way. That would be misleading. And that's actually the example that the committee said was not permissible. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is somebody submitting, you know, putting it in the search box, putting say Justice Albin's name in there and seeing a bunch of results. And it might be like the Supreme Court website. And it might be, you know, something about Justice Albin's hometown, and then it might be Justice Solomon's website, and it would also be, if Justice Albin has a website, his website. And it would be ranked in some kind of order determined by the search engine that has to do with relevancy and, you know, and like what they think users will want when they when they're putting in Justice Albin's name.
But it is often the case, it might be the case that Justice Solomon's page will come up first because it's an advertisement, because it's often the case that the advertisements come up first.
Right, that's a possibility. It could also be if there were a news event about Justice Albin, whether one that he liked or didn't like, that could come up at the very top also, you know, or if somebody said something, you know, made comments about him and that was a newspaper article, that could be first. I mean, you have no control over, I mean, I've Googled my own name and, you know, it's not really the things I necessarily would want, you know, first.
Can I sum this up for you? We don't know what's going to come up. We don't know how it's going to come up. We don't know whose name's going to come up first. We're not sure how it works, but we should be able to trust it that it won't cause any harm. Is that pretty much the argument?
The argument is that assuming it's not misleading, assuming that it clearly states that...
Well, that's my point. Assuming well, maybe we don't know, it should be okay. Isn't that basically the thrust of your argument?
Well, okay, I misspoke. I mean, you have control over whether attorneys put misleading.
Excuse me, do we have the Chief Justice?
Yeah, what happened to Chief?
Yes, you do, but something's happened to my camera. Keep going, I can hear everything.
Okay.
Sorry.
Chief, at the bottom, hit Zoom meeting and you'll come back on because I did it too.
So what I started to say was that the court and the rules control whether attorneys put misleading information in their advertisements or any of their communications. And the example that Justice Solomon gave is an example of that. So that's what I mean by assuming, because if an attorney did actually put in something misleading, like the wrong name, didn't clearly identify their law firm as being the law firm that was going to be, that you were clicking on, or didn't, when you clicked on it, didn't take you to their law firm's page, I think that would be misleading, and the rules already cover that. But yes, we don't know. We will never know. I don't know that you can do a study and know for certain how all searches will ever, you know, how they will be ordered, because that's going to change with every search. So,
Ms. Ahrens, one of the things that's being suggested here is that this this rule in operation could allow a well-financed lawyer or firm to put out of business a much smaller firm or lawyer with few resources. And obviously we have thousands and thousands of solo practitioners, people who are in 2 and 3 person firms who don't have a lot of money for advertising, might just have a website. How do you address those concerns? Now, I understand that well-financed lawyers can come into a town and just by pure resources, potentially put out of business a solo practitioner who is practicing in a particular practice area. But this strikes me as something that allows that lawyer to do that without even really having a presence in the town. You know, especially if you have somebody who's a niche practitioner in a particular area. How do you address that?
Yeah, I mean, I can see that as a concern. My understanding is that this is actually a fairly low cost way of advertising that's actually used the opposite way for people trying to get started, to get a foothold in a community rather than, I mean, from what the literature that I've read on the internet, it seems to be more beneficial or used more by those types of people getting started or trying to get to, you know, build a practice. But yeah, I mean, I think you know, that would be concerning. I think there are many other tools that law firms can use. I mean, on the internet now there's very little distinction between ads and content. It's a different world than, I mean, I'm from when I was a younger person, where you looked up, you know, on a directory to get somebody's name, and it was on paper, and you know, and that's kind of where you had your information, or you went to books. I mean, now the internet is this kind of interactive, you know, dynamic experience where law firms post blogs that talk about developments in the law that are content, but are also ads. And then ads are ways of informing people about their about things that the lawyers can do, which are sort of also content. It's all very it's very different. It's a different world. And I think that there are other, ways for law firms, to use the internet, but I'm certainly, I'm in government law. I've never put an ad in anywhere. So I have, I would be the last person to ask about that. But I can understand, the legitimacy of that concern. Like I said, the things I have read is that it's usually seen as a way to increase access, to give people more options. Sorry.
Ms. Ahrens, the representative of the USDA takes a different position than does the ACPE on whether or not the purchase of the ad word is part of the communication. Could you address that a little bit more? Because the ACPE's opinion really handles that with rather short shrift. And, it seems to me that if we were able to take a broader perspective on the purchase of this ad and the results of how it then is communicated to the recipient, the intended recipient, then we would be much more clearly in the realm of 7.1. And we know forms for communication have changed. We, have billboards now for attorneys, and that never used to be so many years ago. And you just acknowledge the internet is a whole different way of interacting with the intended public. Could you address that, please?
Yeah, I mean, the decision that we have is from the ACPE, who it had been referred to the Committee on Advertising, and they had determined that it wasn't a communication. The way that the committees looked at it was that it had to do with how the ad appeared, and it wasn't about the content of the ad itself.
I know they drew the line at content, but I'm wondering, is there room for a more expansive view of that?
Well, I think you could look at the content. I mean, I think you should. I mean, I think in every instance, the content is important. And if, in fact, as I was saying with the Justice Solomon, Justice Albin example, if the content is misleading, we have rules that cover that, and they should apply. If in fact there's anything in the ad that makes it confusing or misleading or unclear as to the law firm that's placing the ad, that may raise a 7.1 issue, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about it just appearing on the search page, and that was the issue. And it seemed like a lot of the concern about that, and I totally understand, I mean, the idea of using someone's name and that the value of a name, and it, I think it makes all of us feel a little, uncomfortable. Certainly, and we all understand that. But I think the fact of the matter is that, this is what happens on the internet. You will put in a search and you will get all kinds of things that you didn't search for. And the fact that a user may choose to engage with a different law firm than the one they originally searched for, I don't, the committee didn't feel that was, misconduct on the part of the advertising attorney. And I think, absent something truly actually misleading or dishonest in the ad content, that's where the committee came down, that we already have rules that cover the content.
As I understand your answer, there is great significance placed on the fact that an additional click by the ultimate user is necessary to get to the content. Correct?
Yes. I mean, there's okay. An additional click and they can click out. In other words, if there's a mistake, if I'm looking for someone to write my will or something, and a friend gives me two names and I put a name in and it takes me, I have several results, and one of them is an ad for one firm, and another one is is the organic search for the firm that I want. I might click the ad for the, I might click the ad. I might click it by accident. I might see that, then I would see it's not the firm I was interested in, but I might still be interested in exploring it because I just want, you know, a will, and I just want it cheaply and quickly. And so I might check to see if, you know, what their services are, and then go back to the other one and see what their services are, and then make a decision. And the committee didn't think that that sort of process would violate any rules.
Justices, are there more questions for Ms. Ahrens? Mr. Stone.
May it please the court. The New Jersey Civil Justice Institute agrees that any regulation of attorney advertising must take into account the protections of the First Amendment. On the other hand, a misleading advertisement is not entitled to First Amendment protections. And so I'd like to contrast a misleading ad with an ad that is not misleading, but that the court may wish to regulate for another reason. So for example, if the court believes a particular type of advertisement is unfair because it, for example, it pushes another attorney in the search results lower down. Assuming that's not misleading, but unfair, the court may wish to regulate that. And if it does so, it must do so consistent with the First Amendment, which gets involved in the Supreme Court's balancing test for the regulation of non-misleading attorney advertising. So we need to bear in mind that the rules for attorney advertising that are misleading are different than the rules for regulating non-misleading advertising. The concern I have with a finding about keyword search advertising, if there were to be a finding that keyword search advertising is itself misleading, the concern is that it would apply not only to lawyers, but to everyone else who's using a similar type of advertising. So suppose I open a new hardware store in town and I purchase a keyword search using the name of Home Depot so that if someone searches for Home Depot, they're aware, oh, Mr. Stone has opened a new hardware store in town, maybe I'll try them too. But if that keyword search, which causes my name to come up in an ad above Home Depot, if that's deemed to be misleading, if that's fraudulent, then isn't there a risk that Home Depot is now going to sue me for fraud under New Jersey law? And that's a really dangerous idea because that has the potential to upend all internet advertising, which is to say all internet searches, which depend on that modality. So I have a concern about...
Attorneys aren't hardware vendors. So the New Jersey Supreme Court has the constitutional authority to regulate the practice of law. And I don't know that this is the case, but if one attorney is purchasing another attorney's name and therefore disadvantaging that person during the search process, why wouldn't that be of concern to us?
It certainly could be of concern if it's disadvantaging another lawyer, but I'm making the distinction between an advertisement that the court wants to regulate because it believes it disadvantages another lawyer and an advertisement that the court wants to regulate because it's found to be misleading. And I'm addressing only the misleading component. If the court were to find that ad is misleading, I don't know how, I'm not suggesting lawyers are like hardware stores. Of course, the court has a superintendent responsibility with respect to attorneys. My point is that if there's a finding that the way keyword search advertising works is fraudulent, then you've potentially opened a Pandora's box to everyone claiming that a keyword search is fraudulent, because I don't know how the court could theoretically or a committee could theoretically say a keyword search is fraudulent as between two lawyers, but it's not fraudulent as between two hardware stores. I don't know how you make that distinction. I also wanted to make a distinction between RPC 7.1 and RPC 8.4. Obviously, we all know attorney advertising is regulated in New Jersey by several rules, including RPC 7.1, RPC 7.2. There were also three attorney advertising guidelines that were approved by this court. Rule 7.1A in particular prohibits false or misleading communications concerning a lawyer or a lawyer services. And that would seem to make Rule 7.1A an important factor in the question before the court today. But opinion 735 is expressly limited to Rule 8.4, subsection C and D. And the advisory committee held that under Rule 8.4, attorney keyword advertising does not involve dishonesty, fraud, deceit, or misrepresentation, and is not conduct prejudicial to the administration of justice. With respect to Rule 7.1, the advisory committee says it's only referencing a finding by the Committee on Attorney Advertising that Rule 7.1 does not cover the purchase of a keyword search because that purchase is not a, quote, communication. That holding is far too narrow. An attorney advertisement is a communication, and the ad cannot be divorced from the purchase of the keyword that generates the ad. Now, given the sparseness of the record, the Institute takes no position on the question of whether keyword search advertising is deceptive or misleading. But if it is misleading, then perhaps Rule 7.1A should be in play. The Institute therefore agrees that Opinion 735 should be referred to the appropriate committee to develop a more detailed factual record and to revisit the determination that Rule 7.1A is inapplicable.
Are you saying that, Mr. Stone, because 7.1A applies only to attorneys, and that would therefore narrow or eliminate any question that a ruling by this court ultimately expands outside of the realm of attorneys?
No, I still believe that there is a concern about describing keyword search advertising as misleading or fraudulent. My point is simply, if there were, which we're not taking a position, if it were found to be misleading, perhaps the more appropriate way of tackling this problem is through 7.1A rather than through 8.4, which is a more open-ended and has a different standard.
That was what I was, I think, suggesting, is that it's perhaps a narrower way to go at the question that might not have as many unintended consequences. Is that the point you're making?
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. Stone, now, if we were to seek to develop a fuller record, as you and others have suggested, take a stab at what the charge for that committee should be. What specifically should we ask them to do?
So I think it's become obvious today that the opinion 735 has a lot of maybes in it. There's a lot of probably, usually, how keyword search advertising lays out, how it appears. Is it consistent across different search engines? Is it consistent across different devices? And I think the committee would need to look at and create a record at those issues, because we don't really have a clear record from the opinion 735 on how that works. There's also been reference to a lot of my colleagues today, and some of the justices have referred to other aspects and other things that are not part of the record. And the specifics are not my point. My point is we've all tried to fill in the gaps in each other's understanding of how keyword search advertising works by referencing some of our own observations and our own research on the internet, which isn't really part of what the committee was looking at, or at least not part of what's in the opinion. I also wanted to draw a distinction between the point I was making earlier about keyword search advertising that the court may wish to regulate, not because it's misleading, but because it creates other concerns that may or may not satisfy the balancing test for the regulation of commercial advertising, and on the other hand, a misleading or fraudulent advertisement. And in that regard, I refer the court to the example that I gave in my submission to the court, which is the Federal Trade Commission's concern about attorney advertising that is directed to consumers and could, in the FTC's words, could leave consumers with the false impression that their prescription drugs may be causing them harms that outweigh the benefits of taking them. And so that kind of misleading advertisement, which according to the FTC at least satisfies the standard of a misleading attorney advertisement, and they issued those cease and desist letters, attorney advertisements that mislead consumers, whether it's about pharmaceutical drugs and medical devices or any other misleading ads, those are not protected by the First Amendment because they are misleading, and those should be prohibited. I just wanted to make one last point to help respond to Justice Solomon's question earlier about how these links work. And I believe Justice Solomon was asking if you purchase an advertisement with Justin Albin's name and you click on it, does that lead to, or Justice Solomon's name, does that lead to Justice Albin? The idea of clicking on one attorney's name and leading to a different site was addressed by the committee. It's a very short discussion. It's on the first full paragraph of page 4 of the opinion. It describes those hyperlinks that would lead you to someone else's site. The committee concludes that that is deceitful conduct that violates 8.4C. And to the best of my knowledge, none of the submissions that were made to this court challenged that finding. And so nobody's taken a position on it, but that committee's finding that that sort of hyperlink of one name leading to somebody else, that has been deemed deceitful without anybody apparently questioning. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you to all counsel.